Well, the main finding is that Bishop North's nomination was consistent with the terms of the settlement, which allowed the consecration of women as bishops in the Church of England. However, it came as a very considerable surprise to a lot of people, not just in Sheffield but elsewhere. And it raised a number of issues about how the Crown Nominations Commission process, that's the process that leads up to the nomination of a bishop to the Crown for appointment as a diocesan, is conducted. It also raised some real, not only theological, but pastoral issues for women priests, ordained women in the diocese. Issues which are not just Sheffield, specific to Sheffield, but are of general application in the church, about how a bishop who doesn't ordain women or wouldn't ordain them as priests could relate to them as their diocesan bishop. And the final point I make in the report is that it exposed shortcomings in the sense that there was a failure to anticipate the likely reaction to the nomination and to plan ahead to deal with that, and therefore to offer those involved the kind of support they needed.
It was no secret before this process took place that it was possible for a traditionalist bishop to be appointed, but should it have been made clearer, do you think, in that consultation period, that it was a possibility?
The short answer is yes. You're right. It was clear from the terms of the settlement that a traditionalist bishop could be appointed. But the possibility was barely raised during the consultation process in Sheffield. It was not discussed in terms by the Vacancy and See Committee, which considered the diocese's input, if you like, to the process.
Do we know why that was? Why it wasn't raised?
I think it was, it just largely, I think that it never entered anybody's head that this was a possibility. There had, after all, been a series of bishops who had all ordained women, and the possibility that the settlement meant that a bishop who didn't ordain women, at least ordain them as priests, could be appointed, just didn't occur to most people. Moreover, the opportunity that existed under the terms of the settlement for a diocese to say we want a bishop that will ordain women to the priesthood, the question was not raised. The opportunity was there, but the opportunity was not granted, if you like.
So to be clear, the diocese could have set out from the start that they wanted a bishop who would ordain women.
They could indeed have done that, but the question was not posed to them by the appointment secretaries or during the process.
Hindsight is a wonderful thing, isn't it? And certainly from our coverage on BBC Radio Sheffield, a number of people were saying, well, we could have told you that this would have caused all this outcry in a city, in a diocese like Sheffield. Is the report essentially a case of, well, actually, you know, you perhaps should have expected this?
It was clear from my extensive meetings with people in the diocese that this kind of reaction, given the nature of not only of the diocese but of Sheffield and South Yorkshire, was highly likely. The point I've made in the report is that the possibility ought to have been foreseen, and arrangements should have been made to ensure that, given the decision that was made by the Crown Nominations Commission, that the arrangements should have been made to ensure that the matter was better handled than it was, and indeed that Bishop Philip North was supported, as he would need to be, or as anybody would need to be, in a difficult situation like that. I mean, and that point, of course, is as relevant, or would be as relevant, to the nomination of a woman bishop to a diocese where there was no tradition of a woman, or nobody thought about the possibility of a woman becoming their bishop, just as the reverse applied in the case of Sheffield.
What measures will be put in place as a result of this to hopefully ensure that nothing like this ever happens again?
Well, I've recommended that the House of Bishops addresses the issues. I've made four recommendations. First, that the House commissions a group with a balanced membership to really exchange examples of good practice within the church and examples of good practice in dioceses, encourage people to understand that the real challenge is to engage in a process of dialogue and to use the phrase that the 2014 settlement uses, that mutual flourishing is for everybody. That means that there's an obligation on everybody to see how best they can contribute to that. I've also made other recommendations that the House of Bishops in particular looks at the theological and the pastoral issues that were raised by what happened, that the Crown Nominations Commission arrangements are reviewed, and also that the gap I've referred to in arrangements under which nobody planned ahead for the reaction that occurred, that is well and truly plugged to make sure that it doesn't happen in future. So I hope that, and I'm confident, that the House of Bishops will address these things, will give the leadership which I'm inviting it to give in the report, and I hope that the Church and all those in the Church, whatever their view, will realise that there's more that unites them than divides them, and will be able to see a way forward through these issues.